Hello, this is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with Non-Birding Bill.
What up, Rockas?
And we are here on the roof of our apartment building, hanging out. The roof. What, am I saying it wrong?
The roof? No, it's very Midwestern.
Is it a roof?
It's a roof.
Am I saying it rough?
No, I say roof.
I don't know what I say anymore.
Yeah.
So I was at some National Park Service training in the Grand Canyon that had people from all over. Did you know we had a national park site in Japan? In Saipan?
The United States government?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
I know. I didn't know that until I met a law enforcement officer. Anyway, They were making fun of the way Minnesotans talk, and I was like, let me hear all your Minnesota words. And one of them said, how do you say the word B-A-G? And I was like, you know the Minnesota accent. You're asking, big.
Can I get a big?
Can I get a big?
So you're going to hear planes and everything. We are recording outside because it's summer and we are enjoying the weather. And if you don't like it, too bad for you.
This has been a hard summer for us to podcast because I am kind of, I'm transitioning jobs in a sort of way. I'm going to start doing more park service work, which I absolutely love.
Right.
I'm still doing a lot of writing and I'm finishing up some bird survey work. And so right now
summer is always crazy for us.
I have always said that my travel is crazy, but this year it's been particularly insane.
We're providing free entertainment for you. So if you want to complain, suck it. Suck it. Do you want to complain to somebody?
I love that you say suck it. And so many people tell me how much they enjoy the podcast.
Write to 123 Suck Street, Pueblo, Colorado, and we'll send you a pamphlet explaining how you can suck it.
I have to say, one of the things that I'm really enjoying about all the airplanes flying overhead, and you may even hear chimney swifts.
The comtrails?
Comtrails.
Or is it contrails?
Contrails?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Anyway, that black stuff on your roof is just fungus.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love the planes because I fly so much that this is a common, the route that I usually fly home in, and I've just recognized it's like, okay, now we're coming up south, so we're going to go over Minnesota Valley National Wildlife Refuge, or we fly over our apartment building, and so it's like, oh, hey, there's 394, there's the colonnade where the peregrines is, oh, hey, there's our apartment building, oh, hey, there's a chain of lakes, and it's like, so, oh, hey, there's uptown Minneapolis, and so I'm watching all these planes, like, I know the route you're on, I know which, and I'm also learning to identify planes, which I blame Clay for.
All right, we've insulted our listeners enough, I think, for right now. Maybe we'll return to that later. Let's get into the stories that we need to discuss.
Okay.
This is going to be an abbreviated episode.
Okay, and before we close, I do have to talk about some of the places I'm going to.
Okay.
All right. So the news, I've had just like a great streak of news, thanks to people giving me things.
Sure. Like hepatitis.
Nobody gave me hepatitis.
I asked for it. All right.
All right. If you have not seen the hummingbird vine that was, I think it's Imgur, but it looks like it was originally a vine.
Sure.
Somebody posted it to the Bird Chick page, and it's hilarious. It's basically, you start to watch it, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch a video about a hummingbird feeding at a feeder. And then there's this prize, and I don't want to spoil it for you.
Sure.
Just watch it.
All right,
you're
going to post this on the
Nancy
post?
DeWitt gave it to me. Thank you, Nancy. It's on the Bird Chick page. Maybe if I think about it at the end of this podcast, I will put it in. So look at that. Some good news. I cannot actually remember.
If you don't post the story, this is possibly the worst thing we've ever talked about on this podcast.
Oh, we have talked about much worse.
Well, no. Oh, you should check this out.
You know, when
out,
we start not talking
we're
about,
we're not going to post a link to it, or, you know, something happens. So,
you know what? Actually, here's the thing. Just Google hilarious hummingbird GIF.
We'll put a link. I'll make sure she does it, folks.
Oh, are you mansplaining for me now?
No, I'm husband making sure drunken wife doesn't forget to post things.
I'm not drunk. I'm just really relaxed after a hard week at the National Park Service.
I'm not drunk. I'm just really relaxed.
Okay. All right. I do have to tell people this story. I travel a lot.
Yes, you do.
And when travel gets dodgy and you're going to be in an airport for a while,
You
just hang out at the bar.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes you have some onion rings. Sometimes you have the soup.
Sometimes the onion rings have you.
Sometimes you just really need a glass of Jameson to get you through that flight delay.
Sure.
So
And
it's especially when I fly through Dallas. And I would say, no offense, Dallas, but that airport, I just automatically assume nothing's going to be on time.
Well, you're also flying through a regional airport to Dallas. So, I mean, there's like multiple levels of
if shit goes down, yeah, it's gonna go down in Dallas, and yeah, it's gonna have ripple effects. Sure. Anyway, so I've just and it's not the worst airport to be stuck in.
Right.
So this last time, for some odd miracle, I had a really great gate in Dallas. I was in the D section. Normally, okay, I'm in the B section.
You got
so
the D?
I got the D. I got the D as in dog.
All right.
There's a nice bar right next to the gate, so it was great because I could like watch the gate, watch which zones is like, oh, hey, yeah, that's pre-boarding. I know zone one's coming. I got to sure pay my tab and get out of here. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm there, and I order my Jameson on the rocks. And that always, if you order Jameson, if you order any kind of scotch, everybody's just like, murr?
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Everyone else is ordering beer or soda.
Yeah, no, yeah. You've established a level of
this
drinking.
Woman comes to the bar.
Oh, boy. Oh, I've heard this story.
And she's like,
if you're wondering why I don't have a reaction to this, I've heard this story.
You need to make it real for everybody and like react with it.
Here, I'll do Foley. Oh, I was walking through this. There were horses running through.
She was attractive in a reality TV show kind of way.
Fair enough.
And she would have been the quote-unquote bad girl because sure she had a nose ring.
Because she wasn't there to make friends. She was she there
wasn't
to
there
win.
She, yeah, and, sure, and she didn't have blonde hair. But right, anyway,
oh,
so
well, there you go,
she's out and she's asking about the beer. She selects a beer. And then she asks what schnapps they have.
Great. That's always a good
question. You know, yep, shit's going to go down in an airport when someone's like, what kind of schnapps do you have? And, you know, in North America, you're not getting the quality European schnapps.
No.
You're getting the cough syrup
you're getting,
schnapps.
Yeah, no, you're getting stuff. I mean, this was a Dennis Leary routine, was that schnapps was created for people who wanted to have sugary soda pop drinks and also get drunk, you know.
But seriously, if you're in Europe and someone is after dinner and asking if you want a schnapps, mm-hmm, have the schnapps. I highly recommend the Quince schnapps or the Stone Pine schnapps, the Serpents.
Aperitif.
Yeah,
lovely.
And it comes in tiny glasses.
But
you're not drinking it.
In America, schnapps is for stupid people who want to drink sweet things and get drunk off their asses.
So she ordered her beer, and then she was like, what kind of schnapps do you have? And the bartender's like, oh, we have mango schnapps and watermelon schnapps and strawberry schnapps. And she's like, okay, I want a half shot of the strawberry schnapps in my beer.
Oh, my. Okay. I did not hear that. Half shot. You did not tell me it was a half shot.
Yeah. A half shot of strawberry schnapps in her beer.
Yeah. Hi, plane.
That plane is really close. Okay.
It is very close.
And she gets it, and the two guys on either side of her are trying not to cast judgment.
If you can prove that you're on the plane that's flying overhead,
I would have been on that plane. I have been on that route.
Correct.
So, and then she's like, I'm a bartender, so this is okay.
Oh, God, she is. Oh, no, she's not.
Yes, she is. Oh, and she shows them the straw trick that we have seen bartenders do to test drinks. Like, here, test it. And it, like, comes down to me, and it's like, I'm just going to stick with it.
I was at a thing with friends recently. It was like we were just hanging out. It wasn't a drinking thing. We were just sort of, you know,
was this
together.
Drinking with geeks where you gave us
that horrible
cocktail?
No, that's a whole different thing. No, I was just at a thing recently. We were just, it's like, oh, so-and-so is going to come by. She's got some alcohol to give us. She doesn't drink, so she's going to give this to us. I was like,
nope.
Oh, this will be, oh, well, maybe, you know, I have free booze. I have no problem with that. And this person brought the worst, it was fruit-flavored beer, but it wasn't like a lambic, which is fantastic. It was like...
Lambic is fantastic.
Lambic is fantastic, but it was like a watermelon flavor. There was an alcoholic tea-flavored beer and a watermelon beer.
Oof.
And I, you know, I drank one, and every time... But, like, I was sipping it, and, like, every time I sipped it, I sort of looked at the bottle as if to remind myself, I can't believe I'm drinking this.
You kept drinking it?
I did. I finished it.
I'm kind of judging you right now.
That's fine. Please do. Please feel free.
Because I am to the point, like,
I am sure that the listeners to this lovely podcast.
I was at a birding event quite recently, and it was like just one of those nights that wasn't going to end, and everybody sure wanted to buy another drink, and we were someplace where it was just whiskey or it was just wine and beer.
Sure.
And it's I can have one, maybe two beers a day. Then after that, it's going to be catastrophic gas for me. And it was also really hot. I'm not a huge wine drinker, and red wines just give me hot flashes.
Oh, no, they make you, yeah.
And so finally I was just like, I want to go to bed. I have an early flight. I appreciate that you want to buy us this nice stuff. Unless there's whiskey here, I'm done. I don't. And they're like, no, stay. I was like, okay. And so I just had water. No, have some more. It's like, I don't want to drink to get drunk. I just want water because I don't like the stuff here.
Do you realize the only bird story we've talked about so far is you mentioning a hummingbird and saying, I'm not going to talk about this anymore.
Okay. So
and
I can't,
the rest of it has been us drinking.
Let's make it even worse.
Okay.
I think this is why people listen to the podcast.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned this in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. The Migratory Bird Treaty was under attack.
Yes.
Some dickweed was just like...
I don't know if we talked about this, but I definitely...
Okay, so essentially... Oh, man. I'm so tired, I can't remember if it was in the House or the Senate. It had to have been
It's in Congress. Let's just talk about that. It's not...
I know a lot more about America than I'm saying right now.
All right.
America. But there's a guy. He wanted to... He basically introduced an amendment that said, hey, Migratory Bird Treaty can still stand, but any money that is used to fund the Migratory Bird Treaty, you are legally not allowed to use any of that money to prosecute anyone who violates it. It was just such a dickweed move.
Sure.
And
so... Well, I can't even imagine who would fund that, because, like, I can't imagine hunters would be behind that. I can't... Because, like, typically when you see people are, you know, processing legislation, it's because somebody has given them money to do this. I can't imagine, like, hunters would be behind this.
No, hunters weren't behind it.
Sure.
But the guy in his political campaign, because I have forgotten his name at this point because it has just been that kind of week. Audubon... The National Audubon Society found proof that, he was in cahoots with an energy company. And it was an energy company that was the first energy company to be prosecuted under the Migratory Bird Treaty for killing eagles with wind farms. And they got a huge fine. They got over $1 million fine. And so they gave a lot of money to his political campaign. Like, and there were also documents that were like, hey, can you kind of, like, do something with the Migratory Bird Treaty so that we're not going to get processed? So he's basically fulfilling his obligation of getting all that money.
Okay.
But anyway, it's dead. Good. But I think this shows that we still need to be vigilant about this.
His legislation is dead.
His amendment. His amendment is dead. And I'm not saying that I personally feel, and I'm saying this as someone who has experience with the federal government, there are enhancements that can be made with the Migratory Bird Treaty.
Sure.
You know, there. I mean, when you get to a point where energy companies can be like, oh, okay, we're going to do the survey because we're legally obligated, but we'll go ahead and build a fine into the budget.
I don't have a problem with the Migratory Bird Act. My problem is My problem is that once a bird gets on there, even if the bird recovers, there are people who are working to make sure that birds never come off that list.
That's completely different. That's the Endangered Species Act. The Migratory Bird Treaty is like, you're raising crows and you don't have a federal permit to that. Or like me, I have a goshawk in my possession. I have an oven bird in our freezer. I have state and federal permits that say I'm allowed to do that. If I didn't have that, I could be in trouble.
Right.
But...
I mean, I don't have a problem with the legislation. I have a problem with the way that it's
You have problems with... people who manipulate the Endangered Species Act, which is different than what we're talking about
now. Don't bird shame me. Don't birdsplain me.
Can I tell you about a birdsplaining incident that
I had? Yes, you can, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about birds more on this birding podcast.
Okay, so if you don't know what mansplaining is...
We've talked about this.
Have we talked about mansplaining?
Oh, yeah.
Just can you give a brief sum up? Please, honey, will you tell me what mansplaining is?
My wife
is
asking me what mansplaining is. Mansplaining was a wonderful term, which I completely love. Which was invented when a man is explaining to a woman a topic she knows better than him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if a man, like, if I was talking to Sharon about birds, I think it was specifically a man was explaining to a woman about what a book she wrote was about. Now, it's been sort of expanded into any time a man is being a jerk and expressing an opinion, which is incorrect, but mansplaining is basically a man talking down to a woman about a subject she knows better than him.
Yeah, and I have had that happen in the birding world, but
do you understand
but I call it birdsplaining because I have had both men and women do it to me. So I just, when it happens birding wise, so I'm gonna leave the sex out of it. It wasn't a woman, but I recently had a birdsplaining thing.
I love that you said you're gonna leave the sex out of it, and then explain what the gender of the person was.
Hey, who knows? There's multiple genders out there. You know, we don't know. But, so, I was someplace.
I'm not going to tell you who was, but it was Texas.
It wasn't in Texas.
Okay, it wasn't Texas.
There were birds there. I will say that. I'm not Texas-plaining.
It was somewhere in the world where there are birds.
Somewhere in the world where there are birds. There were birds nesting on a building.
Sure.
And someone who knew absolutely nothing about birds. And in this particular group of people, I was the only person who knew anything about birds. And this person came up and said, hey, there are birds, like, nesting on this building. And I was like, oh. And I went to go look, and the nest was there, and it was unfamiliar habitat to me. So I had a kind of idea, and I said, you know what? I'm going to come back tonight when the bird will be roosting on the nest, and I will identify it. So I went back, turned on the little flashlight on my iPhone, saw what it was, and I was like, it is X species. I don't even want to say, because I don't want this person on the remote chance they're listening to the podcast to know it's them. I was like, it's X species, and this is why. And it's the head shape.
It's X species, and this is why. Were you charting it underground?
It's X species, bill shape, head shape, nest construction, bam.
Right.
This is also the bird that we hear singing outside every morning.
Right.
So next morning, we all go to a meeting.
Oh, God, I know where this story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This person,
I was about to take a drink, and I stopped myself.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. This person comes up to me and says, I just wanted you to know, I looked on the internet and you were right.
Which is the best compliment you can give someone, I think.
I know, and I was like, and I was just like, I went into my super friendly mode, which is like my pissed off mode. So I just went and was like, really? Thank you so much. And like everyone else that was around me that knows me well was just like, oh shit, Sharon's pissed. And it was like, no, and it had X factor, and it had Y factor, and it had Z factor. And so you were right. That's what it was. It's like, great, thank you. Thanks for confirming what I already knew. But it's like, this is, but I don't think this was mansplaining in the sense that this is just the way that person's mind worked, because this person was very academic.
Like an archivist or something like that.
Or you something need to like that, yeah.
They needed citations.
They needed citations. Right. And me just saying, this is what it is because I see this particular feather and I see this beak.
Right.
So they went online and they looked at what they needed for proof. And this is the sort of person who looks for proof, but I just found
it
fascinating.
It was not an insult. It was supposed to be
a
compliment or a confirmation that
I truly felt that this person thought it was a compliment to tell me that I was right. But I think in any other circumstance, I'm like, look, asshole, I don't need you for validation right now. I know I was right when I said that's what this is.
All right, what's our next story?
Let's talk about people not being assholes.
Do we ever talk about that on this podcast?
Okay, first, I want to give kudos to ADN.com, because they did a story about birds.
ADN.com, okay.
A.dog.nancy.com. Okay. Because they used the headline, Eagles Swarm City Hall in Unalaska. Is it Unalaska or Unalaska?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Unalaska? It's a place in Alaska called Unalaska, which just confuses the
that
hell out
like
of me.
That sounds like some Tea Party stuff there.
No, there's a place in Alaska called Unalaska.
Oh, okay.
You can be in Alaska and be
un-Alaska. That sounds crazy, because if I started a place called Un-Minnesota, that would be like a militia group.
That would be the most hipster bar ever.
That would be.
You should do craft cocktails and offer...
Offer?
You should offer craft toast.
All right,
Chimney Swift, be quiet. So anyway, basically what had happened was some ladies, I'm assuming both were ladies... But outside Unalaska City Hall, and I'm
Wow. Okay, so right now we have a prop plane. This looks like one of the cargo aircraft used by the local Air National Guard. So this is being
normal. Is that like a C-14?
You know, I don't know the model number, but I just know that this is something used by the Air National Guard unit.
The really depressing thing is that there's one, and there's almost always a second or
third they typically fly in, like, formation for training, but...
This is the worst podcast ever. I am truly sorry for the sound quality.
Oh, no, there's a lot worse podcasts than this.
Okay, ours podcast?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, so anyway, so in Unalaska City Hall... Two eagles surrounded the city hall, horrifying two workers who feared for their safety.
Wait, okay.
Oh, and here.
No.
Both women departed safely while the large birds indulged in a feeding frenzy outside the building, apparently feeding on seagulls.
Okay. Two eagles surrounded city hall.
It doesn't say eagles. It says eagles, but it says two female workers.
Oh, okay. So how many eagles were there?
Who knows?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess for, like, eagles to surround City Hall, that implies, like, a birdemic situation
okay.
where...
Okay, number one, it's fucking Alaska. Alaska right. bald eagles are like house sparrows yeah. everywhere in the United States.
They have
States.
Like the biggest population. Are the eagles bigger up there? Have we discussed this?
They are.
Okay.
On so average, so like in, let me just clarify.
Sure.
On average, in Florida, bald eagles are going to be 8 to 9 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota, they're going to be 9 to 10 pounds.
Sure.
In Alaska, they're going to be 12, maybe even more, because the further you get away from the equator, right. the bigger bird is.
They have different standards of beauty.
Yes, that's it exactly. Thank you for mansplaining that.
Sure. So basically, there were eagles eating in City Hall in this place in Alaska.
Outside City Hall.
And two women freaked the fuck out because they were eating a seagull. Which
they
presumably,
were just flying around. But
which presumably they didn't hunt and kill. I mean, they're mostly scavengers, so presumably.
Here's the thing I don't get is that we're talking about two women in Alaska freaking out about bald eagles.
Right.
Everyone I've ever met from Alaska is always like, well, in Alaska, things are different.
Because, I mean, like,
we almost die there when
I
we walk outside.
Years ago, we had a story about, like, somebody had, like, a truck full of deer carcasses. And, like, there was just, like,
oh, yeah.
a
we
ton
had that
of eagles. Like,
no,
yeah.
it was the
yeah,
truck
yeah, yeah.
that had the fish in it. And,
yeah.
the, and
oh,
there were,
yeah.
like, 20 eagles in the parking lot yeah. of a Walmart.
Oh, and there goes
a great egret.
A great egret. But, like, I can't imagine, like... What site is this from? ADN? I don't even know who that is.
It was a story. Alaska
Dispatch
News.
So, two people complained about the number of eagles. Was there an official reaction to this? Did they call the police or animal control?
It was just creepy, said Administrative Assistant Bautista, who estimated, quote-unquote, okay. hundreds of
oh,
eagles.
Oh, wow. Okay, hundreds is different.
Though her companion, Stiles... had a lower figure.
Stiles is the name of the best friend from Teen Wolf,
I know.
By the way.
Between 30 and 40. Mm. They basically surrounded the building, Stiles. I actually, you know what I hear in my head? You remember the Kathys on Kids in the Hall?
Oh, yeah. Kathy
oh, my
C
God.
And Kathy K.
Eagles.
Yeah. I can't believe there were no pictures of this. Like,
they were just swarming. They seemed to increase in numbers rather quickly, Stiles said. They were insane.
All right.
Super insane. Actually, I think if she's saying super insane, let me do another dramatic reading.
Right.
They were just swarming.
Yeah.
And they seemed to increase in
okay.
numbers rather quickly. They were insane. Like, super
okay.
insane.
I'm going to give... Okay, first of all, awesome. Like, amazing. Like, 40 eagles, you know, at a... You know, I would be taking pictures of that. I'm going to give these women the benefit of the doubt and say maybe one of them has a bird phobia, because I know people who have bird phobias about parakeets.
I do. Well, my sister is
and
one.
So if they felt the need to, like, how did the newspaper even find out about this? Was
they
this
were probably drinking
reported?
In a bar,
yeah.
and the reporter was just like, it's a slow news day.
Well,
because
no, I have
it's
to,
Alaska.
I mean, I would have to imagine they would, you know, report this to, like, animal control or something, but, like, okay, this is a non-story. It's, like, 30 to 40 eagles... But the only photo they have is, like, of a single eagle, which is, like, you know. So, non-story. All right, moving on.
All right, moving. I just want to say, everyone I've met from
yeah.
Alaska, when you talk about eagles.
Yeah, they're like kangaroos in Australia. They're pretty much a pest at this point.
And, I mean, and that's kind of the way they are in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Alaska, I cannot wait to experience the Alaska eagles because I'm
mm-hmm.
going to be at the, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, feel free to email me and tell me that I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Sure.
I make no guarantees I'll ever pronounce it right. Kameshik? Shorebird Festival?
Don't look at me as if I know what the fuck you're
I'm coming
about.
To a shorebird festival in Homer, Alaska next May.
Awesome.
And I'm super excited because I've always wanted to
you
go to Alaska.
Talk about Alaska constantly.
It's just never fit timing-wise, and so the fact that I get to go to this really cool bird festival in May next year. So if you have any tips for me for birding, because I'm going to bird around Homer, Alaska in May. And my sister, Terry, is thinking of joining me in Alaska. And actually, a few people in Minnesota are thinking of joining me. And so I'm thinking of taking a few extra days. If you had a few extra days after you had to do some really cool birding stuff in Homer, Alaska, what would you do? And then also, if you've ever wanted to go to Homer, Alaska and learn about digiscoping or have a drink with me, you should come to this bird festival.
Hey, Homer, you going to go
hey,
to see that bird festival? Homer! Going to go see the bear drive a little
non-birding
car
Bill is not going to come because Alaska sounds like his own
well,
private
no,
hell.
Well, no, I'm not going to come because they're not paying me to come, so.
I could probably, like, take you with my frequent flyer miles.
That's fine.
Do you want to see Alaska? You don't seem like an Alaska kind of guy.
I would not go to the festival at all, but, like, yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to see Homer last.
Okay, let's talk here, because I'm not going to just do Homer. And I mean, you also have to understand your in-laws are probably going to come along. Do you really want to go to Alaska with your in-laws? Think about this long and hard before you answer.
I've never been to Alaska.
Anyway, that's something that I'm doing. If you've ever considered Homer, if you've ever considered the Shorebird Festival, if you've ever wanted to hang out and learn about digiscoping and smartphone bird watching, come hang out.
Sure.
All right, next story.
If you ever wanted to try and cross the Bering Strait into Russia, this is the festival for you.
Can you cross at that time of year?
I have no idea. But you're asking me like this is something I do, like from time to time?
I know Attu and the Privilofs are something you can do, but I feel like all the birds that they see there, I've seen in other countries, and sure. I don't want to stay in some place that's really remote and not comfortable to see birds I've seen in countries they're supposed to be in.
All right.
But if that is something that appeals to you, I highly recommend you do Zuganru Tours. Zuganru Tours are fantastic. It's run by my friend John, who has epic eyebrows without plucking. Maybe he should pluck. You should do Zuganru Tours.
All right, what's our next story? What's the next thing that we should actually be talking about?
Birds steal skinny dippers' underwear to build their nests in Scotland.
Well, I think we all knew that, so I don't know why we're talking about this story at all.
I'm not sure if these people are skinny dippers.
Well, you can't say underwear, you have to say pants, because that's what they say in the UK.
I got into an argument with a mutual friend, one of their friends on Facebook, because they were talking about Dagmar's hot panties.
Right.
Which is something you can watch on Netflix if you're...
And I think it's gone now.
Oh, that's too bad.
Anyway.
Anyway, so I was like, it's not Dagmar's hot panties, it's Dagmar's hot pants. And then we got into this whole discussion about Swedish entomology, and they were telling me, well, I was wrong. And I said, you know what, if Netflix calls it hot pants and not hot panties, that's what I'm going to go with.
I think you mean etymology. Entomology would be...
Fish.
Insects.
Oh, I'm thinking of ichthyology.
Just read the story, please.
Skinny dippers were left red-faced after birds of prey stole their underwear to build their nest. The swimmers stripped off for a little al fresco bathing near Glen Esk in Angus, Scotland. Mm. So basically, there is a picture of a nest with socks and what looks like boxer shorts and maybe a turkey feather in a red kite nest in Scotland.
Awesome. That sounds like a classic, like, 70s, not like 80s, we were a bit more sophisticated then, but like 70s, like a guy, like, you know, has to clean himself off, and so he very embarrassedly takes off all his clothes, and then, like, there's a very terrible process shot of a bird coming in and taking off with his underwear.
What's the UK magazine that you tell me I can never... Or the UK news outlet that you tell me I can never trust when I post a news story? Is that okay?
What?
Like when there's a news story and it seems
really... I think I tell you never to go to the Daily Mail, but it's not that they're not trustworthy. It's just that they're
very
right-wing.
This is the Daily News.
Oh, I've never heard of them.
Anyway, so I'm looking at this. Yeah. I'm looking at the photo of the nest. It's basically one pair of brief boxers and a lot of socks.
Sure.
I'm not sure these are skinny dippers. I kind of feel like this is a trumped up story.
Yeah, it's a very specific fetish of women with no socks. Oh, heavens. Oh, what a question. But, yeah, if they sold their underpants, I guess if you were walking down there and you took off your shorts, you know, or your underpants, and you were only wearing that, I don't know. Okay, fine. Whatever.
I will say, I have been part of osprey banding expeditions when you go up to the osprey nest. There is either a bra/bikini top in there. Osprey will take that stuff here in the U.S.
Well, I know that happens from 80s movies where, you know, there's always, you know, bikinis are always, like, whether you're having a great bikini off-road adventure or whether you're just trying to save a bikini car wash, those bikinis tops are just always coming off. Whether it's they just pop off or whether, you know, an osprey comes by and steals them, it's just they can't stay on.
Osprey's equal consent.
Yes, exactly.
Red kites equal consent.
Pretty
if
much.
You take your clothes
yes.
off in front of and a red kite, it will steal your clothing.
I mean, that's why I introduced that legislation that we need to amend the
Migratory Bird Treaty Act.
Yep, because they're just stealing bikini tops left and right. And creating all sorts of problems for local businesses like, you know, car washes or, you know,
birds
tour
are
companies.
So anti-feminist.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And if you're the sort of woman that's listening to this and thinking this is anti-feminist, you should have stopped listening to this podcast a long time ago.
You need a shaman to come in and collect them and bring them back.
Now you've gone too far.
Well, no, this is a joke for... I'm going to reference this to the Flophouse because they're always talking about...
Do you think people who listen to the Flophouse listen to this podcast?
They might, but they are definitely going to listen to this one because I didn't tell them about it.
Hey, I'm kind of out of podcasts right now. I have been listening to Death, Sex, and Money. That's one of my favorite podcasts. And I've been listening to the Alec Baldwin podcast, Here's the Thing. And I also have been listening to You Must Remember This. These are my three most favorite podcasts. They are not keeping up with my travel schedule. If you have a podcast that you like that you think I should be listening to, please email me at Sharon@birdchick.com. This is not advertisement. This is me desperate for audio entertainment.
Molten Moon Movies is fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yep. Love it. Love it.
Is it one of those frenetic podcasts where everybody talks over each other?
It's Leonard Maltin and Baron Vaughn. Just talking about movies they love. It is a very sedate podcast. They typically have it like a subject, like animation, or they'll pick a specific movie star or whatever. They'll talk about a movie that they love. They talk about a turkey, and then they'll talk about a sleeper that you probably haven't seen. And
do they talk about oscillated turkeys?
No.
All right.
But I highly recommend Molten on Movies, especially if you love movies or maybe if you just want to see some movies that you haven't seen. It is fantastic because it's just such a positive experience. Leonard Maltin is an entirely positive person. Like, even when they're talking about the turkeys, they're talking about, well, this is not a great movie, but so-and-so is really good in this, you know.
As much as I love doing this podcast with you, I've been listening to the You Must Remember This podcast, and it's very clearly a well-thought-out written podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike this, where we just hang out.
Oh, yeah.
But I've had an inspiration for another podcast that I want to do without you.
It's fine.
I love you, but without you.
No, I hate doing this. I think that's clear.
I know, yeah. But she has, right now she's going through this whole thing about Charles Manson's influence on Hollywood.
Mm.
And it's been a multi-episode thing. And I mean, I kind of knew about Charles Manson because my parents like watching all that Bill Moyers, Maury Povich stuff, and Helter Skelter. But I mean, I didn't really pay attention to it. I was like, oh, this is a crazy guy, a hippie that smelled bad that I would not have. But listening to where he was in Hollywood at the time, I was like, I see why this happened.
Psychological effect on him.
I'm really glad I wasn't alive in the 60s. Holy crap.
Yeah. But no, Molten on Movies is fantastic.
All right. Well, maybe I'll check that out.
Mildly interested in movies, Molten on Movies.
If you have an idea of a podcast that you think I might like that's not sports related, unless it's basketball, then I might be interested. Mm-hmm. Let me know.
All right. All right. What's our final story for tonight?
Well, we have a final story, and then we have to talk about stuff that I'm doing.
Okay. Well, let's deal with the final story, and then we'll talk about stuff you're doing.
Crow is riding an eagle.
What? I've never heard about this.
Crow is riding an eagle.
Oh, yeah.
This is not Mystery Science Theater 3000 Crow.
Sure. I saw this. I was going to link to this, and then I always double-check before I send bird stories.
I love that you do that. Then I don't have to send you the smiley face, thanks for thinking of me.
You never do that. You always say, I saw this already. Boom.
In fairness, when I did that to you today, you showed me a link that had already been on my site like 5 times 6 months ago. But sometimes you show me something that's new, sweetie.
She patted me on my knee, folks. All right, so what story are we talking about here?
What story
are we telling the listeners who have probably already heard this story before?
It's a crow perched on the back of an eagle. Somebody got several pictures of an eagle getting mobbed by crows, and they just happened to get the lucky shot where a crow... So pretty much, I see these go around where someone like sees it and like, oh, that's Photoshopped. Anytime you see a bird perched on the back of a bird of prey, I'm always going to think it's legit. Unless it's something like somebody puts a blue tit on a red-tailed hawk. Yeah. But, I mean, birds mob, and sometimes like their wings are in when they do it.
It's the photo where it's being mobbed, and the bird is flying, but it has its wing tucked in at this particular moment.
At this 1 millisecond.
So it looks like, it's got its luggage, checked, and it's just sort of waiting for the peanuts and whatever to come by.
Yeah. Oh, there's one other thing.
Okay,
we're going to close. Okay. So we've talked on this podcast before about how, on the one hand, I think it's awesome that people have access to webcams we can watch in Ness, but also I'm kind of terrified because...
Sure. You're going to see some upsetting stuff?
You're going to see some upsetting stuff.
They're animals.
So there was an Audubon Nest cam on an osprey nest. Bald eagle came in and took off with one of the chicks.
Sure.
That was traumatizing enough.
Yep.
As the students were watching, bald eagle came in and got the second chick.
No, I'm sorry.
Eagles are sometimes just jerks.
Hey, it's this is nature.
It's hard, man.
As I think there was, you know, I can't remember what the commercial was, and I'm sure someone will remind us. It's like, what do you think they called them? Animals. It's like, yeah, these are creatures who live in the wild. They are trying to eat. They are exposed to the elements. They have no concept of morality.
So. What was fascinating to me watching, because like somebody captured like the video footage of when this happened, and you can see like the adult osprey start giving their alarm call.
Sure.
And one of the things that I've noticed that osprey chicks do, this is nothing I've discovered. This is something osprey chicks do. Like when we go to band them, the osprey chicks will stand for a second and then they completely just flatten out like they're pancake batter. And that is their defense mechanism. Now, when they do that on the ground, when we're banding them, it's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You just suddenly turned into a slinky. But when they do that in their nest with their coloring, it's like, oh, you totally blend in with the coloring. So when the adult ospreys start like, and the chicks just flatten out immediately, and it's like, oh, wow, you're trying to camouflage. That eagle can still totally see you.
And it's I know that it's probably upsetting to you because people have not seen this before, but hey, guess what it's like for that fish when the osprey goes and plucks it out of the lake all of a sudden.
So this year, when I was at that World Digiscopers meeting in Florida, I had some time off, and I was out digiscoping, and I was watching an osprey eat a fish, and it became clear to me that this osprey had been eating this fish for a while, and I had been watching the osprey for a good 10 minutes at this point. The fish is still, like, gasping trying to get air, and it's out of water.
Yep.
It's already like partially eaten, and the osprey is still eating it, and every time the osprey goes down to bite it, the fish is like thrashing around. It's like, it sucks to be fish. Fish are dicks to each other, but man, you know, to be an osprey really likes fresh food.
No, I mean, this is the natural
world.
There
is no nice way to go.
Yeah,
you're
nature,
lucky in this world if you can go.
Red in tooth and claw. It is not like you talk about trees, and I remember having this conversation with my father, and he was talking about like a stand of trees where it was so strange that, you know, the trees were, it was like pines, and they were slowly growing, and like he was talking about how weird it was. I was like, these trees are fighting each other. It's like, it's just happening in such slow motion you can't perceive it, but they are looking for sunlight so that they can live, and they are trying to kill the other trees.
And then you start reading about the whole thing about how that lovely fresh mown grass thing that you smell, and it's like,
oh, sure.
Oh, you know what, really? That is grass screaming for help, trying to attract in other predators to kill whatever predator has just, like, cut the grass.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about what you're up to.
Okay, so I have a lot of events coming up, and one of the things that is coming up soon is the Midwest Birding Symposium.
Oh, sure.
And normally that has been held in Ohio and run by the Birdwatchers Digest crew. That is going to be run by Michigan Audubon. Is it Michigan Audubon? It's run in Michigan.
You're looking at me as if I have any idea what the hell you're talking about.
Anyway, are you going to the Midwest Birding Symposium?
No, I am not. God, no. Why would I do that?
I am going to the Midwest Birding Symposium. So if you are interested in birds, you should consider coming to the Midwest Birding Symposium, and it's going to happen during the weekend of September 11th and 13th. If you're interested in smartphone birding or hanging out and having drinks, you should come to Michigan. We'll see some cool stuff.
Michigan!
September's a good time to be in Michigan.
Yeah.
And all the people up there are good birding people, so you should come hang out.
Okay. What else you got?
I had a Panama tour,
and
due to a lot of schedule conflicts and people saying, I wanted to sign up, but I don't have enough time to plan for this.
Sure.
We have postponed it to February 2017.
Okay.
So, here's the thing. I'm going to go to Panama in February 2017, whether you come with me or not. But you should come with me in February 17, because Panama is fantastic. Do you know what it's like to be in Panama in winter? We can hang out on top of Canopy Tower, and we can watch bat falcons fly over and listen to the haunting yet sad song of the great Tinamou, and we'll drink gin and tonics, and we'll stand on our bare feet out there. And then during the day, we'll go out with Carlos, who is the best-smelling man in Panama, and we'll see things like puff birds and trogons. What? Why are you laughing? We'll see coatis. You've met Carlos. Have you smelled him?
I did not smell Carlos when I met him. But Carlos is a lovely human being.
Carlos is lovely. His wife is lovely.
But having never been to Panama, Or perhaps I think never met another Panamanian. I cannot describe him as the best.
I can tell you, I've met a lot of Panamanians. Carlos smells the best.
All right.
Do you want to come with me to Panama?
I would love to go to Panama.
If you come with me to Panama, I will take you with me to Panama. But if people from this podcast come to Panama, you're going to have to interact with
them. That's fine, as long as they don't expect me to be not what they hear. That's all, and I know for a fact that we brought this up on the podcast.
Nobody believes me.
Is that you go to these birding festivals, like, oh, is Bill here? Bill's not.
Bill really doesn't like bird festivals. Bill really doesn't like bird watching.
Like, I find birds fascinating enough, but like, I'm not gonna get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go see a bird. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I know, right?
So
come with me to Panama. Panama, if you've ever read any of the things out there about, oh, Panama sounds fantastic. It really, it's like the Grand Canyon. It
and you
lives
get
to
stay
to the
at a like supervillain lair.
We get to stay at two places. We get to stay at Canopy Lodge mm-hmm. and Canopy Tower. And I like the lodge a little bit better than the tower because it's a little more comfortable.
Like,
you get to
crazy.
Eat bacon and papaya, and we will sit and just watch the bird feeder.
I've seen pictures of these places. They're like you're in a Bond supervillain lair. It's crazy.
That's the tower.
That's the tower.
The lodge is much more crazy, eco-friendly, and beautiful.
Sure.
And here's the thing. If you go birding with me, I have to admit, we will have some early mornings. But because I'm going on this trip and I like to sleep in, mm-hmm. we will sleep in. We will see some cool-ass birds. We will not see every single frickin' flycatcher that's out there. You will come home with your lifeless greatly advanced.
Are you going to do the volcano chicken death march?
That's Guatemala. That's
Panama.
Oh, okay,
Guatemala. I'm sorry.
I will never do that.
Panama.
And Bill brought that up because I have an article coming up in Audubon soon mm-hmm. about the
volcano chicken death march,
which
as I call it.
I will never do that again. As a matter of fact, I recently was in the Grand Canyon, and we had
if
the
that's
option.
That's not the title. You are cutting your own throat.
No. I think I called it the Horn Guan death march.
Yeah, sure.
But no, I was. Oh shit! I just heard a nighthawk. That's the first time I've heard a nighthawk here. There! I just heard it again. That's our first Nighthawk this summer.
Okay, we need to wrap this up because we're not going to be talking about Nighthawks for the
okay,
next
but
hour.
We need to add that to the list when we get back to our apartment.
Right.
I'm not a good lister, but I do keep an apartment. Sure. Oh, it's a Nighthawk. I'm so glad you're here. Nighthawks are in decline in Minnesota. That's really exciting. Okay, Horn Guan Death March. Oh, so, I was in the Grand Canyon, and we had the option of you know, hiking down into the bottom of the canyon. It was 120 degrees. And they're like, tell us, oh, FYI, by the way, somebody died on the Corkscrew Trail.
God.
And I was like, I've done the Horn Guan Death March where you hike up in uncomfortable temperatures for 4.5 hours. And if you're lucky, you might see the giant red horned tree chicken, a.k.a.
Right.
the Horn Guan. Then we're going to march down for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is that in reverse. This sounds horrible. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that to you in Panama.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that's coming up. And then I also have a trip to the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival. It actually starts at the end of the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me and Greg Miller, who is played by Jack Black in the Big Year movie. So if you like bird watching in Texas, or if you have always wanted
to... Peter Jackson's King Kong?
Yes. If you like Peter Jackson's King Kong... And you've always wanted to go bird watching in Texas at a relaxed pace. You should come with me to the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival. Can you tell that I've had a lot of bird festivals say, hey, can you like mention this is happening?
Sure. Yep.
So
continue.
Go bird watching with me in the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival. And I'll hang out with you. What is our podcast doing? It's flashing.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. We'll see great Kiskadees, we'll see green jays. We will eat some fantastic barbecue, and we will eat some of my favorite Mexican food down at the border. I love the Rio Grande Valley. You've been to the Rio Grande Valley.
I have.
What do you think about it as a non-birder?
The nature part of it is absolutely fascinating.
Seriously?
Like, you know, the birds that we saw was, I thought they
were
beautiful.
Can you name one bird that we saw?
I can sort of describe it. But
describe
like,
it. Let me see what you describe.
Oh, no, it was the one that has the chakalaka.
Chachalaca, yeah.
That's close enough. Yeah,
yeah,
that was
I know what
fascinating.
You meant.
It was a turkey with attitude. And then there were some other birds that were like, you know, having water near there. But like the nature part was fascinating. The, you know, sort of town around it was not especially, it's not a big town. But yeah, if you're into nature, it's a fascinating part.
The great thing about Chachalaca is their name for their call because it sounds like they're going, Chachalaca.
Yeah, it's like a turkey that like doesn't give a crap about what you think of it. It's like giving you the eyeball while it's eating, you know, the fruit they put out for it.
But my friend Nidia was telling me that she knew nothing about birds growing up and that her dad called her his little chachalaca growing up. And she's like, oh, my dad's calling me a bird. And then, like, after her dad died, sure. she started learning about birds, yeah. and someone pointed out what a chachalaca was. And first she was incensed because it was kind of, like, brown and drab.
Yeah.
And then she heard the call, and, like, they call all the time, and they make noise. She's like, oh, that's why he called me a chachalaca, is because I talk all the time. So I always think of Nidia when I see chachalaca. Nidia is one of my favorite
and
people.
And I like them. They were fun birds. Like, they came out, and, like, you know, they're sort of, they kind of look like a cross between a turkey and like a red-tailed hawk, to my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you think that's what they look like? I don't think they're that colorful.
But they, no, I mean, just in terms of their attitude, because they hop up onto the trees and they don't give a crap. And
like, if anything, they look like a shrinky-dink turkey with sure. a female pheasant coloring, if that.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. All right, the fans are kicking on here, so we should probably wrap
Sweetheart,
up. Do you have anything
that's
else?
That's not a fan, that's the train.
Oh, we have a train going by.
All right.
So what else do you have going on?
That's it. Come with me to Texas, Honduras, or Panama.
All right. So this is the Bird Chick Podcast. If you have any questions for Sharon, you can contact her on Twitter, where she is at Bird Chick, or you can email her. She is Sharon@birdchick.com.
Nighthawk!
And there is the Nighthawk. So we will talk to you soon-ish.
There's another Nighthawk. There's two.
All right. Bye.